Matthew. Welcome back to Life Matters. You do it every time, I know.
It was an accident, I swear to God.
Anyway, Tom Gardner joins us from Gardner, Koch, Weisberg, and Rona, the law firm here in Lake Geneva as well as Chicago. Where else are your offices, Tom?
Naperville, Illinois.
Right. Okay. We kind of went over what we wanted to talk about today, and we decided that we wanted to talk about what families talk about around the dinner table at the holidays. So, because a lot of times you will have conversations that you figure out are kind of key to maybe what the future holds. You know, I only saw, well, my mom passed away in January, but I only see my dad in person every once in a while. He lives in Florida. So I notice, when I see him, I notice changes drastically because I don't see him every day.
Yeah, over a period of time, that's a big change.
Yeah. But when you see somebody every day, like grandma and grandpa, you know, grandpa doesn't notice.
Right.
Because it's little by little by little. So what kind of conversations as you notice these things about relatives, just, and they don't even have to be old. They could be, you know, wow, is she, you know, she doesn't look like she feels too well, and doesn't have to be a, you know, it doesn't have to be an older relative. Tom, what kind of things are you coming across when these families are kind of talking?
Well, I mean, the first concern often is a health concern.
Of course.
Right? It could be a whole variety of things. It could be an Alzheimer's type concern. It could be somebody that just doesn't look good.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who's doing things that are contrary to their health, all those sorts of things. And that seems to be number one.
Right.
With families.
Right.
They might be going to the kitchen to talk about mom or sister or brother or whoever it may be, but that is number one concern.
The health issues.
And yeah, and then the question on those concerns always is, well, is this person heading the wrong direction? Can this person really care for him or herself anymore?
Right.
What happens if the person goes to the hospital? Who's making decisions?
Well,
All those things.
What's the plan?
Yeah.
Is there a plan in place?
Right.
And often no plan is the plan.
Until it's too late.
That's right, especially for independent people.
Right.
Right? Yes. It's kind of, at least in a lot of families, the families don't really talk about the core issues unless they become pronounced.
Right. Or they don't talk about health issues, which is kind of scary because if the older generation went through whatever, diabetes, heart issue, whatever, that really needs to be passed down to the younger generation so they have a heads up and
communication. Yeah.
Yeah, can kind of prepare to get themselves taken care of before it becomes too late.
Right.
Right, but people don't talk about
they
it. Especially the era older than us, right?
Correct.
Our parents, grandparents,
yeah.
That era, you didn't talk a whole lot about your health. If you said, "How are you feeling?" there's only one answer.
I'm good.
You're right.
Yeah,
I'm
but
fine.
that was all taboo conversation. You don't air dirty laundry. Basically.
Right. Yeah, people are a lot more private than that.
Right.
But you know, it's not like grandma who has some dementia is going to walk into Thanksgiving dinner and say, "I don't remember any of you." You know, I mean, these are subtle changes that you have to watch for. But yeah, those conversations need to be had. You need to have a plan because that can screw up finances. It can mess up families. It can just, I mean, the damage that not having wills and living wills and directives and things like that, that's not just financially, but emotionally can take a toll on a family.
It's a real tough thing for children to make decisions on a parent's health care when the parent hasn't provided direction.
Right.
And you have multiple children, multiple views on things. One child might say, "Oh no, you got to take care of mom no matter what. I don't care. Every conceivable medical thing should be done." Mm-hmm. And the other children might be saying, "Well, no way. That's not what mom wanted."
Right.
It's a very difficult. And if you have the document, then it actually avoids the issue.
Mm-hmm.
People may still feel the same way, but bottom line, this is what mom, this is what dad, this is what sister or brother wanted.
Right.
So we should follow this.
Right. And the older generation need to get that on paper so things are going to happen the way they want them to happen.
And often, you know, people will say, "Well, I told Jim this is what I wanted."
Right.
Well,
Jim don't hold up in court.
That's true.
Do you find that there's a certain generation of people that don't have this done? Like, I feel like my age and older probably do have more of an awareness, maybe a little older than me, you know, 60 or so and over, that generation, they do kind of have their ducks in a row for the most part. It's the younger generation that doesn't realize anything can happen at any time, any day.
Yeah.
And if you have anything at all, a husband, a wife, a house, a child, absolutely anything, these, again, directives and instructions and your wishes need to be on paper. I feel like there's a generational thing. People don't take it seriously.
Well, I think there are two things.
Okay.
I think you're right about younger people because often they don't have money, resources, etc.
Right.
Or at least even if they have it, they don't view themselves as being likely
they're
candidates.
I was That's invincible right. until 47, and then I realized I am not. Because things started to hurt. But seriously, when you're younger, you don't think about that because you're healthy and you're moving and you're working and, you know, you're taking care of your family and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden one day, oh, wow, I'm old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or am I going to spend money on a lawyer or am I going to buy something that will give me current enjoyment?
Right. Yes. Right.
Yeah. Current enjoyment, of course.
Right.
But on the older generation, I think that maybe you're giving them too much credit.
Really?
Yes.
People aren't
because
prepared?
I think people are prepared who have been business people or maybe if you talk about kind of the college educated crowd, I'd say.
Okay.
People in higher positions, okay? I would say those people, they're prepared. They were probably prepared when they were 45. But a lot of people who are senior citizen types are on fixed incomes and they look at things and they aren't necessarily investing in doing things properly. And I've run into people, they'll go to one of these like legal Zoom type outfits,
right,
and they'll print out a will, they'll fill in the blanks and they'll say, I'm covered. And that does not cover them.
No. No. Well, we had to get all of our stuff notarized and signed and witnessed and
Well,
fill it out. You have to make
it
official.
But I'll bet you that I would say 60 to 70% of people over age 60 do not have what they need.
That's scary.
And I think that's a conservative number.
Wow.
That's very scary.
And the other catch is this. There are some people that prepare these documents 20 years ago, and they never revisit those documents. Right, so then there's some very surprising results that occur. You know, sometimes the child that hasn't talked to dad for 20 years is taken equally to the one who's been living with him.
Right,
doing
and taking care
and
of him.
All the money.
Right, so everything needs to be updated. And it's not, and here's the thing, like you say, people, the perception is, oh, why would I spend that money? It's not that expensive.
In the scheme of things, it's not expensive at all.
Right.
And probate is way more expensive.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, because then you got the ugly fight.
Yeah. What do you say to people? We're talking with Tom Gardner with GKWW Law here in Lake Geneva. What do you say to people who come to you and say, I want to set up my will and my living will and maybe even an estate? Like, where do people start? What do they have to start with? Just a meeting with you?
Yes.
Okay.
That's really the most efficient way. We have a questionnaire people can fill out on assets and titling and things like that to kind of get things organized.
Oh, okay.
But you know what? People don't like to do that unless they're that type of person.
Right.
Right? Accountant type, financial types.
It
they
feels
they
overwhelming.
Love spreadsheets.
Yeah.
Just call Jen and she'll hook you up.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Start
that's
at the front desk.
Right. That's what Jen wants to do is fill out all your paperwork.
I have called her. She is a smooth transition into the office.
Oh, of course.
Great person to have on the phone. She will answer any question and is just pleasant to talk to and very knowledgeable. That's why I say just call
her. For
sure.
Yeah.
Jen is tremendous. And
don't tell her I said
that. I think really people will, in this kind of process, people will become stymied, right? At every, it's almost like any potential excuse they'll grab. I got to fill out this form. I don't really have time to fill out this form.
Right.
So
my full name? I got to put my full name down there?
I have to look for my information?
Or other things is like we'll have, all right, who should be the guardian for your children? And the parents will say, well, I don't know. Should it be my brother? Should it be your sister, et cetera? And they won't come in. I'd rather have people just come in. Mm-hmm. And we'll go through things. And the point is, you're better filling it out and changing it later. Okay,
right.
It should have been your brother, not my sister.
Right.
Okay, you change it later. Then just be stymied because you don't want to fill out a form, et cetera. So we just have people come in. We say, what do you have? How is it titled? Who do you think is the best decision maker, et cetera?
Well, and again, when you're... I had a girl that I went to high school with that had a daughter. Her and her husband had two children. So that makes them in their early 30s or so. And he, about a month ago, died in a very tragic, some kind of work accident, like a total fluke work accident. She's, again, in her early 30s. Their interest in anything doesn't automatically transfer to her. That's what that's what young people, I don't think they understand. You know, well, we're married, whatever. You know, my name is on everything along with his. That still takes paperwork and documentation and the proper, again, paperwork in order to get his name off of things, to make sure that you have, you know, whatever, controlling interest,
right.
Any kind of,
make sure you're covered.
Maybe your retirement, something that should have gone to her, you know, all of those things. You just have something in writing. Think of all the grief you're already going through, and now you're going to go through grief with the court because gets thrown to probate.
Yeah, or not have anything.
Right.
All of a sudden, that person in your life and that income is gone, and there's nothing there.
Right.
That's
well, the
a
bigger,
double whammy.
And the bigger thing, though, I think relates to children.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Who, if you had a double death, a husband and a wife with their children, now. You know, the family members aren't guided on who should have the children.
Right.
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 And you can imagine, right? There's competing grandparents, competing siblings on both sides,
mm-hmm.
you know, and some of the, you know, once the couple is gone, then sometimes the, I don't know, adverse feelings toward the other side's family may, you know, we raised our son, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that the other, you know, the other grandma's really not as good.
Our side's better than your side.
Right. Oh, for sure that comes out. Because generally, and also horrifically, people are, in fact, motivated by money. And a lot of times money will come with that. I mean, depending on the age and all that stuff. And people don't see the...
Right.
And how are you? The true reason for what you should be doing here, and
and you need to have something on that too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that child's money is protected from bad family.
Mm-hmm. But that's if you have both parents. But even if you don't, like if you're a single mom, and you know the dad has the kids for visitation, but I mean, that's not a good situation. You still, that's even almost more important to have something in place, because you know darn well if he's your ex-husband, he's certainly not going to do everything, you know.
Well, there's a reason that
I mean,
they're
there's a reason you're an ex, right?
Right.
So, I mean, is there anything that single parents should look for to have in that paperwork specifically, or does any kind of red flag come to mind?
Certainly there are circumstances where a single parent might say, my child shouldn't be with my ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's certain, the law favors a parent having custody of the child in that case, but you can set things out there. You can set things out, what desires are, et cetera, there.
Yeah.
But the law may supersede some of those desires.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, because unless, again, like you said, unless he's been banned from seeing them or something, I mean, is there some automatic things that go into play?
There can be supervised
visitation,
things of that sort, yes.
Okay.
And then the question, there can still be a question, who should be the guardian for the children?
Sure.
There could be a fight over that, over suitability and what's in the best interest of the children.
Right.
And no matter what it is, if you're not prepared for it, it is not going to go the way you want it.
No. No. Never. And even part of it not going the way you want it to go is going to be a problem.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
It's a snowball effect.
And the suffering just intensifies.
Yeah.
Not only do you have the loss, but then you got all the aftermath of it. And
right.
Who wants to go to court?
Nobody.
No.
Nobody.
You know, another thing that I think comes up, you know, when you get into the holidays and year end is marital relationships, right? And that's mm-hmm. one of the things that you often see when you have the family get-togethers too. And the question is how you deal with those.
Mm-hmm.
And whether, you know, whether there's divorce, whether there's circumstances that need to be addressed. And that's one of the things I wrote a book about on the post-nup solution book that I wrote. And the idea was to try to address some of those problems while there was still a continuing marriage, rather than have them get worse
right.
and lead to divorce, put in provisions that the husband and wife can agree to
right.
while they want to actually achieve something.
Right.
And what I think you see, especially as you head to year end, is people kind of looking back on their year, thinking about their circumstances, and thinking, do they need to make some decisions about things?
Sure.
And that's something that might not be around the dinner table, but every family talks about, right?
Right.
Are these mm-hmm. two getting along well together? This person has this personal issue. It's not under control. How can you deal with this? Somebody's having a mental, you know, psychological type issue or whatever.
Right.
So those issues, too, kind of come into play. I think it's just a unique time period.
Sure.
From Thanksgiving to Christmas and New Year's, where people look back and say, well, how'd that year go? What do I have to look forward to?
Right.
And the key, like with the other issues, is can I do something? Can I take steps to address this, or do I just let inertia take place?
Yeah, well, that's usually not the answer.
Never thought about that before.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, the high stress reflection of the year.
Uh-huh.
That could be bad. I've never been in that position, but you make valid points. You sit there and New Year's is coming up, and, well, how was my year? Yeah.
Yeah, what do I need to
that
change?
Could be
what
bad,
do I need
yeah.
to, I mean, the
do
word
I wanna
the
do
word
that
protection
again?
Comes into
right.
mind.
Or
right?
do I want to, you know, survive through another year like that?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's time to sever whatever.
Right. Right.
It's a really interesting time we live in, because
yeah.
if you go back like 20 years ago, I'd say, even it's not that long a time period, right? 20, 30 years ago. People
Sad.
That
no,
were.
No, it's not.
I know.
People that, you know, it was kind of like when people reached age 60, they were like running out the ground ball. All right.
Right.
This is how it's status quo.
Right.
We're going to keep on going.
This is how I'm going to die, and this is how I want to be remembered.
Right.
but now people live so long that the decisions that they used to just say, well, this is status quo, I'm done.
Right.
Now you see people thinking, well, I am not happy in this marriage, and I'm 65 years old, and I'm going to change that.
Uh-huh.
Or these are issues in my marriage that need to be addressed. I'm not going to accept them this way, so we're going to have some sort of agreement to deal with it.
Right.
Or, you know, so-and-so has some sort of mental issue, and they're in their 60s, and, well, they don't have that much time to go, so we're not going to really deal with it. But that now, they might have 25 years
yeah.
to go.
Right, right.
Yeah, dementia, Alzheimer's, something like that is not a death sentence. People
nope.
can live a long time mm-hmm. suffering from that disease.
Right. Well, and in general, we're just living so much longer.
Yeah.
And in these situations, you also have to plan for yourself. You have to take care of yourself
right.
in those situations. So we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk just a little bit more with Tom Gardner right here on Life Matters on Lake 96.1. We'll be right back.